the Religion of Hockey podcast. My name is Nathan, aka Grab. We are joined by Nico and Jay for episode 11 of the Religion of Hockey podcast. We are back. We're officially good to go. A little bit has happened since the last recording, but we're going to be doing our...
Hold on. Before we get into it, everything, I just want to thank everybody that has liked us on Apple Podcasts, if you're listening to us on Anchor, and if you're liking us on Spotify. Remember to go subscribe and review us, like, 5 stars.
Goats.
You guys are the people that matter. So I just want to get that out of the way. Again, thank you for listening. Please share this. We always post it on Twitter and stuff. So
appreciate everyone who retweets
our little
it.
Thing. Yeah, go and retweet it. We appreciate it. It helps us out. We take a little bit of time editing and doing this kind of stuff. So thank you for supporting the podcast. Continue, Gravity.
We are back. Okay. I guess you spoiled it, Nico. There you go. We're fine. We're good. We're good to go.
I am back, to be fair. Hey, I was barely in the last episode.
Jay will be at the start of the podcast this time, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, sir. I'm back, yeah, and I'm more ready than I'm. Okay. No,
that's even
I'm
the words.
I'm back and I'm better than ever. I'm ready.
Are you sure? You just like stumbled upon.
I'm joking. Okay. You know what? They don't understand sarcasm, it's okay. Anyway, today we're going to be going through some trades that happened, and then we're going to get into our top 10 centermen for next year. But yeah, let's go over the first trade. The more prominent of the two, the James Neal for Milan Lucic trade, is the one I would like to talk about a little bit more than the other one.
David Clarkson.
We got to talk about David Clarkson.
We got to talk about the biggest Oilers news, which is Ryan Nugent-Hopkins got married over the last weekend.
Whoa.
Can we talk about how cute his wedding photos were? I just want to point
out. Isn't
that
he still like a little man? Isn't he still like 16 years old?
Yes. He's a lovable man. I love him. I love everything about Nuge. I love him.
Okay. Anyway. Let's get into the James Neal from Milan Lucic trade. Now that we're done talking about a wedding that I had no idea that happened or existed. But
how did you not know? Did you not see any of the pictures? There were so many memeable pictures that came out of that. There was some old man trying to eat like a fish in the background. Like he missed his mouth. I think you took a screenshot of him, didn't you, Nate? Like there
I
was a screenshot
so.
Or something.
Yeah,
there was like a dog. There was like a dog in the.
Well, I haven't seen them, but I guess I'm gonna have to go see them after the podcast.
They're pretty cool. I don't know.
Okay.
I enjoy looking at Nugent-Hopkins. I'm so happy for him. He's such a good guy. He's been through so much.
Nico, just so you're aware, these sentences are very suspect. Just so you know.
No, I'm just saying. I really do enjoy myself some Nugent-Hopkins.
I also want to shout out the second biggest Oilers news. Happy birthday to Oscar Klefbom on the July 20th. Absolute beauty.
Bro, what is happening? Can we talk about the trade? I leave for one episode and apparently we didn't talk about anything.
I just like talking about the real Oilers news.
And also happy birthday to Mikko Koskinen, July 18th.
Guys,
absolute beauty.
There we go, Mikko Koskinen, you know, making that cash money. How happy is he?
And also, Josh Archibald being signed by the Edmonton Oilers. Can
Did
we
you
give
just
a
say
shout
Josh
out to him?
Archibald?
Yeah, a Coyotes player, he got like 10 goals last year. Absolutely amazing signing.
Okay, if we're going to do the podcast like this, next time I won't come to the last 5 minutes on purpose because I might as well.
It's a one-year contract. It's absolutely amazing. Look, 22 points in 68 appearances with Arizona, straight from the Oilers Twitter account. Home of oil country on Twitter is what it says. Okay. Wait, no, this is the description. The Oilers have signed for Josh Archibald to a one-year contract. The Regina, Saskatchewan native tallied 10 goals and 10 assists for 22 points.
So I only get 3 retweets, guys, because there's no point in anyone rating this podcast.
This is the news that matters. Oilers. Edmonton Oilers.
We need to get this news,
news
out to the people.
Hold on. Really quick, though. What do you think Mikko Koskinen is using all of his money on this summer?
Probably drugs.
Honestly, probably... Can I say which drugs? Because, like, we know...
No, we can just say drugs. We'll
he likes he likes Coca-Cola.
Ooh. I mean, I'm more of a Pepsi guy myself.
Nate, yeah, did you I not... Like you know what? It's fine.
There's just been no real news, and I mean we got the so realistically James Neal was traded for Milan.
What?
Okay, I have some stuff to talk about for the trade. I really want to
okay go ahead talk get
so
it all
for
out.
Me this is such a huge deal for Edmonton. Good job on new management over there for doing this. But the biggest thing for me is that both of the players obviously had bad years last year. Lucic had about 2 years. And Neil just came – before he was in Calgary, he had two amazing runs with Nashville and then Vegas. And then the biggest issue for me is that, if you guys don't know, Milan Lucic's contract is like the David Clarkson contract of when he first signed it with the Leafs, where you can't buy it out and you can't put it under LTIR. Like, it's one of those unbreakable contracts. So for me, how does that make sense? Like, I don't know how that makes sense. For me, James Neal has a better chance of recuperating and getting back to his form. And even if both players get back to form, Neal is still the better player. Like, how did this make sense in any way for
like Edmonton Oilers, the Calgary Flames?
Like, no, it has to be literally mind blown. How does this work out for, like, how does this make sense for Calgary? How does this, like, what, I'm lost for words. Because even if both players get back to form, Neil's better. If they both don't get back to form, Neil's contract is better. Even though they're both bad, at least it's not unbreakable. So for me, it's like, what was the point, really? Like, what was the goal?
Needs
of
more grit. They need more toughness. They need
James
more
Neal brings toughness.
That is the reason why they lost for Colorado. The grit was just not there.
Yeah, not they need not more not Goudreau not scoring or Monahan really doing really bad and being injured. It wasn't that. It was.
Can I point out the fact how this is hockey in July? Like, realistically, like, I don't think anybody would care. Like, these two names, like, I don't really care. You know,
no, I think it's a horrible
like
trade.
Looking at this trade, like, so you have Milan Lucic, right? $6 million guy who was on the third line, wasn't producing, looked really bad. Okay, we get that. James Neal was on the third line, looked pretty bad, like, wasn't producing.
Like, are you forgetting about James Neal in Vegas?
James Neal in Vegas only had 44 points.
But he was going off in the playoffs, and he had a run with Nashville.
I know he did, but I'm saying, like, in the beginning of the season, if we're talking about regular season, because real, like, I don't know, I'm just saying for regular season-wise, over an 82-game, you know, sequence, like, James Neal fell off halfway through the 2017-18 season for Vegas. And then, yes, he had a playoff run, right? But then, even so, it's like, when he's not with the puck, like, I know you don't pay him to play without the puck. I know you pay him to score goals. I get that. Like, and I know this trade makes kind of no sense right now for Calgary to make this move. But at the same time, I think it's just one of those things where both organizations are like, well, we both have two players in our organization that are not producing with our... I think Calgary gave up on James Neal too quickly. But, like, at the points in their careers where both of them are over 30 and the likelihood that both of them go back to where they were prior to being 30, like, it just hardly happens. I don't know what you're going to get out of these two. I think it's an irrelevant trade, and it's just one of those things where, hey, I'll scratch your back if you scratch mine. We'll see if this works out, and if it doesn't, whatever.
Yeah,
if it does,
I think it's just, you know, a bad for bad trade. I can see why people can get excited about the trade because it's obviously two guys that have been overpaid. I like seeing bad for bad contracts because I like seeing teams take risks and not just staying with their completely trash players, which with Neal and Lucic, both players were trash. They were not good NHL players. They were not that for the past, well, first, when it comes to Lucic, not in the last couple of years. When it comes to Neal, last season was just horrendous. I like seeing teams take that risk, but besides that, I kind of like Nico, I don't really care too much. Like, if they do rebound, that's fantastic. I love to see that. It probably will be James Neal more likely than obviously Milan Lucic. But besides that, I need to see actual productivity between these two guys to actually get excited about a trade between these two guys.
And if it doesn't, are we really disappointed? Like, are you guys really going to be like, oh, no, James Neal and Milan Lucic didn't produce? Like, oh, no.
It's like we expected, like, that.
Exactly.
Yeah, like, I don't, but go ahead,
For me, Jake. I agree with you that in the grand scheme of things, as of right now, it doesn't mean anything. But this could be a total game changer for Edmonton. And I'm so serious about that. James Neal is probably going to play with McDavid, giving him toughness and scoring. And let's say he comes back to like 80% of form. Like, that's one of the best wingers that McDavid has played with, other than Nuge or Puljujarvi, the rare times he played there, or Draisaitl. But like, if Neal comes back to form 80% or even 100%, let's say Neal comes back to 100% of form because he had one bad year. Let's say he comes back to form, he's playing with McDavid. That could be a game changer for Edmonton, and that could bring Edmonton back to the playoffs. Like, I agree that it, in the grand scheme of things right now, like, who knows what will really happen, if he'll bounce back, and like, life and like statistics say he's probably not going to bounce back. But even if he does, he has a better chance of Lucic of bouncing back. And again, if he does that, that could be a total game changer for Edmonton. For me, this is a huge steal, even if he doesn't end up getting back to form. Even if they both fail, like, I'd still rather have Neal's contract. And again, I agree with the point. Like, I get it. Like, it's a bad for bad trade contract. But like, the upside of Neal is huge here.
Replace everything you just said. Like, every time you said James Neal, replace it with Milan Lucic and pretend this is 2016. That's exactly what everyone else said about that player back in 2016. Like, I just can't see a player over 30 who has went on these long runs, even if you are playing with like McDavid. It didn't work with Lucic.
But I feel like Neal's like, way more gifted offensively.
But he wasn't, like, when he did play with, say he played with Goudreau or he played with Monahan.
But that's the issue. That's why he was mad with management, because he went in thinking he's going to play with guys like Monahan and Goudreau, and he ended up playing on the second and third line.
Yeah, but
you should still be able to produce on the second line.
Yeah, yeah, on the second line with a player like Backlund and maybe Tkachuk, like, he should be able to.
But what if it was just a down year, and then now he comes back to form, and then that could be huge. And what you're saying with Lucic is, like, he didn't have the Neal upside. Neal's a much better player, in my opinion, both ways.
Well, prior to 2016, yeah, he did. and it just didn't work out. Now, I'm only saying that just because I know it's not 2016. I know that both players have... I don't know. I just, again, like, I feel like this is one of those things where when you look at it in the season, like, I bet you James Neal maybe gets, like, if he gets, like, 40 points, congratulations.
That's a success. That's a huge success.
Yeah, maybe. Like, if Lucic goes over there and gets, like, 35, 40 points as well, good for them. But do I really think that adding James Neal to the Edmonton Oilers is going to make that team any better, like, playoff team? No, it's not. Like, that's just what I see from it.
For me, it's like, I don't see Lucic getting anywhere higher than 20 points. And then Neal, again, has an upside. And then it's not like he's obviously bringing the defensive head of the puck. He's not amazing defensively, but, like, he's still good. And he brings toughness. So he brings the toughness like Lucic, but he has so much more offensive upside. And I just think he has so much more potential to, like, come back. I really do believe, like, that this could be a game changer for Edmonton. Because everyone's been talking about you need to get Connor McDavid a winger, and wingers are, like, there's so many wingers in the NHL that you can get for pretty cheap. For me, it's like, if Neal, like, comes back to form, this could be huge, and I do honestly think it could bring them close to the playoffs or even into the playoffs, because McDavid has had 116 points last year with Draisaitl on the power play, but basically with nobody. Imagine what he could do with James Neal.
I don't care.
I'm trying my best here, guys.
The only player that cares about the Oilers is, like, the NHL by Natty thing.
Oh, what a Twitter account.
So I actually did look him up. And so this is... I actually love this. So where is this? Now that Milan Lucic is in Calgary, it's time to put Dave Semenko's numbers 27 back in the mothballs. They're not going to retire it, but they don't have to hand it out to the next guy who might want it.
What?
I get what you're
saying. What a Twitter account, so man.
James Neal won't have any trouble getting his number 18 jersey in Edmonton. It hasn't been worn since Ryan Strome left.
What?
That is...
He won't have any time. It's Ryan Strome that he has to compete with.
What? Speaking of Twitter, NHL by Maddie, guess what's trending in Canada, guys? LTIR. Literally the word LTIR is trending in Canada.
Good segue.
To the David Clarkson trade, the biggest trade in history. So Garrett Sparks was literally just traded for David Clarkson and a fourth
round pick. The return of David Clarkson.
Basically, it's a cap dump for the Leafs, even though it's only of 700K. They put Clarkson on LTIR. Basically, it's because Clarkson's just going on LTIR. Basically, it's Sparks for a fourth round pick. That's the trade. Not too much to talk about. The Leafs get rid of a goalie who was horrible for them. And I guess, like, I don't know. I don't. It's a nothing trade.
Does this trade make sense to you guys, though? But it's like, how do you trade? How do you have them move a first round pick and Marlowe, and then you only get a fourth round pick with David Clarkson?
Honestly, this trade is, I think, I don't know if it's more interesting than the Lucic-Neal trade, but like on both sides, it's pretty fascinating because Toronto, obviously, they're making this trade, but they don't gain a crazy amount of cap. It will help them, but I don't think it's going to be this game-changing cap dump.
It was for the fourth-round pick.
Yeah, the fourth-round pick is nice. Garrett Sparks, though, won a Calder Cup with the Marlies. I mean, he's been a pretty big part of that organization. I'm still pretty surprised they actually ended up training him because they extended him. I thought he might have been the backup, but once they signed Neuwirth to that PTO a couple of days back, I was kind of concerned for his job. So him getting surprised now doesn't really surprise me. But on the Vegas Golden Knights side of things, that's kind of what interests me the most, because with Vegas, obviously getting rid of Clarkson is huge for them. He was on IR. I don't think he was able to be on LTIR for them, or at least wasn't. That is a huge cap dump for them, and absolutely fantastic. I don't know what they're going to do with their backup situation, because they now got Malcolm Subban and Garrett Sparks, two guys that arguably are not the greatest goalies in the world, so I don't know how they're going to manage that, but I think, again, when it comes to Vegas, when it comes to Toronto, obviously having David Clarkson back, the biggest return of Toronto in forever.
Remember when he was supposed to be this huge player to play with them when they were first getting back on their feet?
The next coming of God.
Wow, what a signing.
Such a strange time. Well, back when they actually signed him, so, you know, he was coming off that 30-goal season with New Jersey, and he was playing with Kovalchuk, and for some gosh darn reason, the Leafs had a bunch of cap space at the time, so they're like, well,
this won't hurt us ever.
Yeah, you know who just scored 30? And guess who needs goal scoring? And great.
Well, to be fair, they needed anything and everything. They were horrible. They had P.A. Parenteau on their first line, so.
Dude, rest in peace, P.A. Parenteau. I love that, man.
Yeah.
He's not dead, but he's definitely not.
He's definitely not alive.
Yeah, for a second I was like, He's Rip? Like, what are you talking about?
I just don't see him anymore. No, but. The only player that, like, random, but the only player that really I always confuse P.A. Parenteau with is Alexander Tanguay. For some reason, I always thought those two were the same person. Tanguay actually is the assistant coach now with the Iowa Wild.
Whoa.
I don't know.
He was on, like,
why do you know that? Why?
I just saw it. I saw him get signed there, and I got excited because I was like, oh, that's only 4 hours away.
I'm surprised he signed in the AHL. I would kind of think he was signed in the NHL. That's pretty interesting.
Well, hey, man, if you want to cut, you know, you want to cut your stripes, that's not the
And
right
usually
thing.
You start there.
You
start,
cut your stripes.
When players turn into coaches, they start in the AHL, try to get on their feet, and then they'll learn about how to coach and, like, what goes into it, and then he'll probably get up there, but you don't want to just sign a player right away to be a coach, because that could be horrible.
I mean, I didn't expect, like, a head coach job, but, like, an assistant coach, I could have seen him, like, with an Avalanche.
Anyways. To be fair, David, like, people, or David, a lot of, like, DJ Smith is a head coach, so I guess you're right.
Yeah, it's whatever to me. But so let's get into the meat and potatoes.
Here we go.
So there wasn't really there wasn't really a whole bunch of news. So, like,
it's the dog days right now.
We're kind of stretching here. So
Mitch Marner might get signed soon.
Whatever.
It won't happen.
So last week we did our top 10 right wingers in the NHL. This week, we are going to be talking about, debatably, one of the hardest ones, I think.
No, I think it is the hardest one.
Well, this and goaltenders.
Goaltenders is like goaltending. Fairly easy for me.
I don't think so.
I'm a Habs fan. It's easy.
Yeah.
Carey Price, okay. Number 20.
Whoa.
Yeah, number 20. All right, so we're going to be doing our top 10 centers So we got all of our stuff from like Hockey Reference. We all came to the conclusion of like, if we don't think he's a center, then he's not a center. So that kind of
that. Like, so Steven Stamkos, are we kinda, is not
Steven Stamkos, not a center.
In our eyes, we have Leon Draisaitl
as a center, though. Yeah, we had Leon Draisaitl as a center, but he played more center. I'd say he played 60-40% wing center.
I don't even have him on my list, though. So
like last week, the debate was with Claude Giroux, and we ended up putting him as a right winger anyway.
Yeah.
So let's get into it, boys.
By the way, Claude Giroux had a very underrated, not last season, but the year before that, he was the only other player with Connor McDavid to have 100 points. People forget about that. He had a huge year.
Good player.
Good player.
Good man.
Good man. All right, let's start off with number 10. Nico,
I will start off. I will start off, okay? All right. I need to talk about my man. I say everybody's my man, but I need to talk about my man, Leon Draisaitl, number 10. Now, again, he's the type of guy that's, you could say he's a winger, you could say he's a center. I'm working, again, for today's podcast, we're going to say he's a center, but I have Leon Draisaitl as my number 10 guy. Now, I probably will put him higher if, again, he had a bigger sample size away from Connor McDavid. I think, scoring 100 points to Connor McDavid is fantastic, but to put him in the elite, like a top five, I need to see him other than that. But from what I've seen with Connor McDavid, obviously it works having them together. Ton of offense, a ton of points. Obviously, that makes the rest of the team kind of slack. But I think Draisaitl offensively is fantastic. A lot of skill. And again, I would think a pretty underrated player in the NHL right now, especially scoring 100 points. He's not the greatest defensively, but offensively, man, just brings so much. And again, is kind of a perfect guy to slot around Connor McDavid, even though he is still a center.
I'm going to agree to disagree. He's not on my list just because I think McDavid did a lot. But I still think he's up there, so that's a solid number 10 pick. Nico?
I like Leon Draisaitl. I don't have any, like,
disagreement. You have any bones to pick with him?
Like, I think Leon Draisaitl is the kind of player that nobody's going to ever respect what he does. Kind of like Malkin and Crosby. Like, you're always going to say, like, oh, look how great Crosby is. And then, I know us as people who are really into hockey, like, we know, obviously, how great Evgeny Malkin is. But, like, to the everyday watcher,
the casuals,
you're never really... Yeah, the casuals. They're never really going to be like... They're never going to point out Malkin over Crosby. And I think that's going to be the same thing with Draisaitl. Like, the guy can score 50, and nobody's talking about him.
Yeah.
So, like, it's one of those. I'm not saying he's underrated, because he's definitely not. But he's definitely... I think the best word for him is underappreciated.
He's like Alexander Barkov of a year ago.
I don't think so. I just don't think he's at that level where he can be considered a top center in the league. But I think he's a player that, like, you definitely would want on your... I'm not sure where I'm going with it, but you know what I'm saying?
No, like, I get that, but, like... You definitely
would want him on your team.
I just think Alexander Barkov is in that same situation, like, where last year... He wasn't getting, like, any respect, even though he's so good. Like, that's my comparable.
Gotcha. I get what you're saying. All right, so for my number 10, I have former New York Islander great, current Toronto Maple Leaf great, John Tavares.
Whoa.
I know, I just made Islanders fans cringe. I just made Toronto fans cringe. They're like, ugh, really? We know he is. We had a John Tavares day last year. He had his own day. That's how great.
Yes, John he did. Tavares is. Absolutely amazing.
John Toy signed off on that.
I know he did, right, the mayor. I like John Tavares. I just there's just something about his game that, like, reminds me of, like, a stealthy assassin, man. Like, he is a guy that. He doesn't skate very, in my opinion, his skating's not going to go well as he ages.
His skating's not fast, but it's solid. He has a good stride, just not fast.
You know, I just don't see it going very well as he gets older. it's just something.
Well, his work around the net will make up for that.
Yeah, no doubt. He's definitely, I don't think he's a better Joe Pavelski, because Joe doesn't have the shot. I think he is a better Joe Pavelski because he has the shot that Joe doesn't have, if that makes sense. Because around the net, John Tavares is one of the best. Like, even far out, you know, John Tavares can throw down a bar down zinger from 15 feet out, and he could stand in front of the net and fight off, you know, Zdeno Chara. Like, he just has that ability to be in front, and his defensive game is pretty good too, I would say. I think that's a product of his game that was, you know, you don't think of defense when you think of John Tavares, but I definitely think that between him being the only center on a New York Islanders team and now having actual help around him, it's allowed him to maybe divulge more into his defensive, you know, abilities without having to be the guy playing, like, offense, defense, everything at once. So I think what put, like, that's what I think puts him in the top 10, at least for me, because last year he was such a leader for Toronto, and, like, he led them in the playoffs. Like, I know they lost 7, but he was definitely a reason why they got the 7 too. He's just a player that, like, you appreciate him when you watch him. And for having a top, like, being in the top centers, like, over different other centers, like, it's hard. It's hard. This, like I said, this is one of the hardest lists for me. So having, I know this is going to be, like, a homer pick because I am a Maple Leafs fan, but I definitely do like John Tavares. And he made my top 10. And Jay.
Okay.
Jay's just not going to
Okay,
go.
Not my number 10. Nico was, Nico turned into a transformer for us here. As we are talking, communicating over the interwebs, he turned into a little bit of a transformer. But
Nico died, basically.
Yeah, but
oh, did I?
Yes, no. For a little bit. Oh, but he's back now. He revived for my number from the 10, dead. I have a little bit of an underrated pick. I just think he slept on a little bit, and it's from Grav's team. Even though every team is Grav's team, it's from the Dallas Stars. Tyler Seguin. I just think before they got Zuccarello and before guys like Roope Hintz started going off in the playoffs, he had really no one to work with. Obviously, he had Jamie Benn, but that's about it. He had Radulov. He had that line. And obviously, one-line teams are kind of hard to pull off. But actually, two teams pulled that off this year. But I just think Tyler Seguin, he had 80 points, 82 games. And he was just like huge for them. And he had a very slow start when his owner called him fudging horse crap. So they had a slow start, and even after that, he started going off. He had 80 points in 82 games to finish off the season. So after a slow start, that's crazy good. And I just think, I don't know, I just think he's a great centerman. And I also think, like, I don't, like, he's a leader by, like, example, and he's, like, one of those guys who I think might be, like, a fun leader type of deal. Like, I think he can kind of lead the team just the way he plays, and just, you know, have, he has that fun vibe to him. So I think that, like, just that, and like him just carrying the Dallas Stars team.
Yes,
literally.
Yes,
just
the fun factor puts him in the top.
The
listen,
party factor,
I just think
maybe
the party.
I just
factor.
Think he carried a horrible team, to be quite honest with you.
Jay, ooh, you want to fight? You want to fight? There's Roope Hintz, boy. And he is
No.
Team,
in the
okay?
playoffs, no. That's why team. I prefixed it I prefixed it with that. In the playoffs, yeah, Roope Hintz came to play, and guys like
carried it.
Guys,
Beer High School with like 15 goals in that series versus Nashville, by the way, too. God,
yeah.
I love it.
But
and
Tyler Seguin just
though, yeah,
he's a very good centerman on a team that's well underappreciated.
He wasn't even that bad when, obviously, Tom Gagliardi said he was freaking horse crap. Or no, not it was Jim Lights. It was Jim Lights.
It's Jim Nil.
No, Jim Nil is the GM. Jim Lights is the whatever. I can't.
Jim.
I
remember his title. It was one of the Jims.
Yeah, it was Jim Lights. So even when he was said that he was freaking horse crap, he was having a decent season up to this point. Not a crazy. I mean, I would say that Jamie Benn had a lot more of the blame up at that point. He turned it on a little bit more. But Tyler Seguin, he was good before he was called that stuff, and after he just exploded, it seemed like it worked somehow. I still don't know how that even happened. I don't have Tyler Seguin in my top 10, but I would say he's probably top 15. Loving the def, one of my favorite players in the league, behind Jamie Benn, obviously. So I like that pick. Good partier turns up
number
the,
9, baby.
Turns it up. Okay, so my number 9 best center in the NHL, I have my boy, another one of my boys, Braden Point. Now, Some people might not put Brandon Point in their top 10 yet. I don't really care because I think he's a top 10 center in the NHL right now. He's been so good. Like, this past season, I think he was maybe underratedly one of the best reasons why Tampa was so dominant. And offensively, one of the more gifted guys in the league, gets it done goal scoring, assist-wise. He just does everything you'd want, drives play, and just is elevating teammates up to another level that you don't really see with a lot of other players. And you have, obviously, players like Kucherov there, Steven Stamkos, who some people might put there in their top 10, cough, cough, wink, wink. But yeah, I honestly, when it comes to Brandon Point, he's, again, one of my favorite players in the NHL, but even non-biasedly, I think he's so, so good. And again, so young. I think he's like 20, 21, 22. He's just going to be so nasty, man.
Yeah, he's 23.
Okay.
I actually have him at number nine as well.
Whoa, there you go.
So we are not sleeping on Team Point. I was a big fan of Point, like that year that Tampa sucked. Like, what was the year where everybody?
Oh yeah, that was the year where he kind of broke out and everybody started paying attention to him more. Where like Kucherov was injured, Stamkos was injured. It was just yikes, and Brandon Point was.
I think it was the
16-17 season.
Was it 16?
Yeah, 16-17.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, he had like 40 something. Yeah, I think I have let me pull it up. Yeah, he had 40 points in 68 games, and yeah, he was one of the top bright spots. And
yeah,
I think that was a season that I remember seeing him in juniors for the Moose Jaw Warriors, and he had something insane amount. I think he had like 88 points in 48 games.
That's pretty good.
Like, he was just insanely over that skill level. And then when he jumped up to the NHL, obviously he's a smaller player, so a lot of people were like, oh, you know, he's not going to be able to make it. He's only 5'10". Let me point out here, buddies, that Larry Murphy's in the Hall of Fame, and he was like 5'10".
Good player.
like, great player. And no, defense different than offense, but still. Like, that was 20 years ago when they could literally hold weapons on the ice and slap him in the face with a stick, and they get like a talking to. like now you look at how great he was last season. 41 goals, 51 assists, 92 points.
Yeah, man.
It's just hard to not have him in the top 10 and not expect greater things. And at the age of 23, imagine if he continues to have 90 point seasons like he did this last season. He could potentially be one of the best, not only best centers in the league, but also one of the best Tampa Bay Lightning players.
I think he'll be, his number will be retired. It's a little bit safe to say, but, or too early to say, but honestly, how good he is right now, I would not be surprised at all.
Do you think, I mean, you didn't watch Vincent LeCavalier when he was at his prime, but, I mean, I assume you've watched highlights of Vincent LeCavalier, right? I mean, you saw how nasty Vinny was back then. Like, he was straight up disgusting.
Him and Stanley brought me to hockey.
Like, he was, when he was getting drafted, you know, he was considered the Michael Jordan of hockey. Like, legit, that was his nickname, the Michael Jordan of hockey. And he was just so nasty. He would steal pucks. Go watch a highlight reel of Vincent LeCavalier. You'll thank me later. But I see a lot of, I know Vinny was a lot larger player, but just seeing how well people like Point in the community and how they liked Vinny. I know there's a lot of comparables to those players where they came into the league and obviously Vinny had a lot more, hype coming to him versus Point, but just how they've accelerated their game to having only like, you know, 50 point season to then just jumping up and being a 90 point player and 41 goal guy. Like, the comparable of those two are huge. And I definitely, I hope to see more of the same out of him next season.
All right, Nico, your number nine.
That was my number nine.
Or no, Jay.
That was Brandon Point.
Okay, so I just want to quickly point out why I don't have Brandon Point in my top 10.
Boo.
Here's why you're wrong.
No, so I have one reason why he's not, actually two reasons. So one, obviously last.
Too small.
No, okay. I actually disagree with that because I'm a Habs fan. We just drafted Cole Caulfield. I'm a big believer in the small human beings. But
he looks stupid.
But basically,
he's not hot.
But basically, for me, he was only doing it for 1 year. So obviously the year before he was good, but he wasn't like elite. This was his first year of being like an elite center, and it's on a, he was on a team that won a record number of games. Like the team around him was crazy. So if he does it again, I think he will be in my top 10 next year if we do this again. But just because it's his first year and he was on such a stacked team, I feel like a lot of players could have prospered. So I do agree with you guys. He's definitely top 15. He's right there. He's probably number 11 on my list. But for those two reasons, I just couldn't put him in over some of the guys I have. He also wasn't amazing on the defensive side. He was okay, but not great. So, and I value I value those things highly, as you'll see in my list later. I do value defense very, very highly when I value hockey players. But I will say my number 9. He is a little bit higher on your guys' list, but I have the man, the myth, the legend, playing for the Florida Panthers, Alexander Barkov. He's number 9 on my list. I think he is, for me, I hate putting him at number 9. I think he should be higher. He's only 23. He had 96 points in 82 games, 31 points on the power play. Like, he was just crazy good. I think he's finally getting the respect he deserves. I feel like a year ago, like Leon Draisaitl kind of is now, but a year ago he was kind of underappreciated, underrated for sure. A year ago he was definitely everyone kind of underrated him last year. So now he's finally getting his respect as a top 10 centerman in the league. Doesn't really like his fans, apparently, calling them out, talking about Sweden and how they get more fans there. But let's not talk about him as a character. Let's talk about him as a player. Let's talk about him as a player.
Here we go.
But yeah, he's crazy good.
Jay's wrong.
Swedish born Alexander Barkov.
But yeah, I mean, Alexander Barkov, number 9. He's amazing.
I'm going to my number 8, and there you go. My number 8 is Alexander Barkov. For the same reasons you said, he's a fantastic... I think, again, this past season, he was better at offense than defense. Some people might argue that, but I think he got a little bit of a down year defensively. But overall, he's still in a great defensive forward, one of the best in the league. He will win Selke trophies in the future. But, again, he'll probably rebound next season defensively. But offensively, he was so good for Florida. On the power play, he was just dynamic. And in levels that we hadn't seen from him before, really, he really just upped his level to everything, even strength on the power play, and just he really elevated his level. And with Florida, they had a lot of weapons to surround him with. Huberto had a great rebound season. I had great guys like Hoffman around him, Trocheck. But I think overall, Barkov was the leader there. He was the captain there, so he obviously was the leader. But I think when it comes to Barkov, again, he's in my top 8. I think he's freaking fantastic, and for a lot of reasons you said, Jay.
Also, Lady Big Winner.
That is true.
That is a thing that happened.
Fact.
Yes.
Okay, so here's a fact. My number 8 pick is Ryan O'Reilly.
Okay.
Fact.
I'm a fact man.
Back to one of our first episodes of Straight Facts. Love that
straight
one.
Straight Facts.
Straight Facts. I'll tell you what. Straight Facts. Ryan O'Reilly.
No facts were given.
Top 10 center. It's kind of weird looking back on trades now, looking at, like...
Yeah, that one.
We'll get back to Ryan O'Reilly as a top 10 center.
Yeah, well, Colorado had... let me pull this up. Can you guys hear me now?
Yes.
There we go, okay. Colorado had, Paul Stastny and Matt Duchene and Ryan O'Reilly on the same team with Nathan MacKinnon and Gabriel Landeskog. I know they have Mikko Rantanen now. But like
overrated,
man. But you know what I'm saying? Like having all those players on at the same time, like man, it's kind of kills. Thinking like, man, you could have had this lineup with this player, these players all at the same time.
But would like, they have became the players they were if they weren't traded?
Yeah, they wouldn't have gotten some of their assets that they had now. They wouldn't have never gotten Kel McCarr. Never would have gotten Bowen Byram.
I have trouble with that because you can say both ways, like, because he got traded, he got better. But what if he got better? Like, so I was a big believer in, like, oh, because he got traded, that's why he got better. But why not? Why couldn't he have just gotten better in his thing? Like, someone brought that up to me. Like, I always say, like, oh, he got traded, that's why he became, like, this player under a new staff, under a new development. But why couldn't he do that before? Maybe it was just wasn't his year. And, like, next year, even if he was on the same team, he would have developed. But either way, he developed with Lewis and Ryan O'Reilly has been great. I'll talk about him a little bit more later because he's a little bit higher for me on the list. But yeah.
Yeah, I mean, just one quick thing. We'll talk about him a little bit later too. But I guess it kind of debunks my own theory because it's like he was traded from, so he traded from Colorado to Buffalo and Buffalo to St. Louis. And it's kind of funny looking at everything that's come out of his mouth so far. Like, he's such a quote machine. Like, I love, like who says this out loud? I lost my love of the game. I didn't want to play
anymore. Man, newspapers love him.
Like, after leaving Buffalo, like, after the season that they had in Buffalo the season prior, it's like, Jesus Christ, what did you do to them, Buffalo? But for him being my top eight, obviously Selke winner, obviously he won the Conn Smythe, right? So Conn Smythe winner. It's hard to fight that he's not a top 10 center over a lot of other guys, but he's a guy that I want to look forward going into next season and seeing if he can continue this pace. And I'm not going to say it's a one and done kind of thing, but it might be a one and done kind of thing.
I also won the Selke.
I don't know. So I don't know. What is your number seven?
Jay.
Me. Okay. So talking about defense, talking about Ryan O'Reilly, number seven on my list is Patrice Bergeron. He's been doing it for time. He's a little bit older now, but in just 62 games, I believe. Yep. In just 65 games, he had 79 points. So his points per game was a 1.22. To compare that, Nathan MacKinnon, who had 99 points in 82 games, his points per game was under him at 1.21. So obviously he's getting older. He was injured for a little bit, so he did only play 65 games. But he still finished with 79 points, which is crazy. Like, that is a crazy rate. And he was still himself defensively. So take that for what you will. That points per game pace is crazy. So again, he's just crazy defensively. Like, there's not much you can say with him. He's crazy defensively. He's crazy on the faceoffs. He's the exact center you want. He gets offense again. Like, that is a crazy points per game rate. And imagine if he played 82 games, like, probably would have lowered a little bit, but still, that is crazy. So again, he plays defense, does everything you need, led the Boston Bruins all the way to the Stanley Cup final. Didn't get all the wins like Ryan O'Reilly did, but he is right there. And that's probably the reason why Ryan O'Reilly is above him for me, just because it was kind of a head-to-head face-off. But again, Patrice Bergeron, just crazy good, crazy plus-minus, obviously amazing defensively, and yeah, he's number seven for me.
In short, Patrice Bergeron is, in fact, crazy. He is crazy.
Bro, he's crazy. He's crazy good. I don't know what else to say.
Holy crap, man. Yeah, obviously you didn't know what else to say.
I know that feeling, though. In some of my videos, I will say fantastic, like it's every other word, and it gets pointed out, like, heck to back. So I feel that, Jay.
Oh, my gosh. If you were counting at home, that was seven crazies in a matter of a minute.
I'm going to try and break that next episode.
He's crazy. Did I mention he's crazy? Did you see his face up? Look at that beard.
We should name this podcast Bergeron is crazy.
It just happens. But guess what, guys? He was crazy good. Whoa. No. He's just amazing. Like, and I'm going to switch to a different verb. He's just amazing. No. Like, he's good on faceoffs, he's good defensively, and he put up points. Like, what? No, like, what more can you ask for? The only thing I could ask for out of Patrice Bergeron is to play 82 games. That's the only thing he did wrong. He had good faceoffs, 56%. He played well defensively, like always, and he scored a lot. So if he just plays more, that's all you can ask for him. So.
All right, we are out of the craziness there. No pun intended. Yeah. Okay.
Patrice Bergeron is crazy.
Whoa, breaking news. Okay, now, on to my number seven best center in the NHL. I have Sebastian Aho. I don't think Sebastian Aho is underrated, but I kind of agree with what Nico said to Leon Draisaitl, to the extent that Aho is undervalued and kind of underlooked. And I think Sebastian Aho, a lot of people know that he's really good, but I don't know a lot of people know that he is that good and as good as he actually is. He scored a lot of points last season for Carolina, but he was one of the main drivers of offense there on a team that some people forget in the regular season didn't score that many goals. The offense was decent, but the defense and goaltending was really what carried them. But Sebastian Aho offensively was just so good, even strength, so good power play, so good in everything. He's not good defensively. He's not at that stage yet, but offensively brings so much promise, so much skill, and he's 21 years old. He is going to be so good for them and probably a potential captain, if I'm going to be honest. I love me some Sebastian Aho, one of my boys, I will say, but I love me some Aho at number 7.
You love a hoe.
Never heard that one before.
It's like 11:30.
It's 12:30 for me, so...
Oh, okay. Let's move on. We're going. We're trudging on. I love that. You love a hoe.
Number 6?
What number are we
seven. 7. Late night show.
Okay. Oh, I'm telling you, right now, it is probably like, it feels like 120 degrees.
It's past my bedtime.
Right now. Like, it's so hot. My number 7. There we go, numbers. My number 7 is Mark Scheifele of the Winnipeg Jets.
Wait.
Why is it Mark Scheifele?
We skipped my number 8, because my number 8 is Mark Scheifele. Well, noob. Might as well talk about him now. Mark Scheifele, go on, Nico. Yeah.
Your opinion means nothing.
I'll talk about him after you talk about him.
Okay, so I have Mark Scheifele up. A lot of people wouldn't have him up there. I was kind of debatable between whether or not to have Mark Scheifele in this list at all.
And then he shot up to number 7.
Yeah, and then I shot up to number 7. I like Mark Scheifele mostly because I like big centermen. I'm from that generation where
Nico likes big men.
Yeah, I like big men. What's wrong with that?
I like big men, and I cannot lie.
That other bodies can't deny when you're trying to get past him through the middle of the ice. His name is Scheifele.
Oh no, Scheifele.
This is not going well.
This is going great.
I'm so hot. I'm sweating right now.
Nico, do we need to like take a pause on the podcast? Like, are you good?
No, we're. No,
are you gonna die? We're going. Please don't die. Actually,
he's only dying slowly.
I'm dying slowly. Okay, Mark Scheifele.
Let's talk about Mark Scheifele with UVI.
Scheifele.
He's a Scheifele. Scheifele.
If you didn't know him, he's super fly.
Oh my god, speak on the player.
Okay.
You know what? I'm going to speak on the player.
Go ahead, Jay.
Oh my god. Okay. So, he had 84 points in 82 games this season. He shot. Oh my god. He had a shoot.
I thought that was a good rap. I don't know. I thought it was good. Somebody will like it. Somebody will clip it.
We are sorry for this.
It reminds me of that Nicki Minaj song where it's like, I'm a motherfucker. You know what I'm talking about?
Starships?
Super
yeah, bass. Yeah, that one, yeah.
Super bass.
Go ahead, Jay.
I quit.
Jake.
I quit. I'm quitting live on the podcast.
No, Jay, tell me about Mark Scheifele.
I'll help you out. Okay?
People need to know.
He's 6'3", 207 pounds. He's a big center who can score. He plays good defense. He's on the line with Blake Wheeler. That's a super sick line. He's an assistant captain. He's a good character guy. Like, that's pretty well known around the league. He's had in the playoffs, he had 5 points in 6 games. Couldn't bring Winnipeg to beat Nashville Predators, wasn't it? Yep, right, yeah.
No, St. Louis.
St. Louis, right. Yeah, I know. I'm a hockey fan for sure. So 5 points, 6 playoff games, and he had shot 14%, which in the playoffs isn't horrible. But for me, it's just like how good he is in the regular season and what he does for the team. Like, he just kind of brings the team together. I don't know if that makes sense, but he just kind of like, he fits the team so well. He's been with the team for so long, and I feel like he's very like appreciated by the fans over there just because they didn't have a team, and now they finally have a team who's good. So like they can like appreciate Mark Scheifele a lot, and he's finally get some respect that he's due. He's from Canada, which is great.
Respect.
But yeah, he has 84 points. Great. Again, for me, a running theme for my list is he's good defensively. So for that reason, he's number 8 on my list, just behind Patrice Bergeron, just because Patrice Bergeron is better defensively. That's why I had him over Mark Scheifele. But Mark Scheifele is just great character guy. He's good in the locker room, good on the ice, and he's bringing some solidarity to a team in Winnipeg that I think needs it. And he's a playoff performer, and hopefully he can bring him back to the third round and get back to that point where they got beat by Vegas. That Vegas team, man. You know what's crazy? Just to go on a little rant for a second. Vegas gone to the league 2 years ago, and they're already in cap hell. Like,
because they're good.
What? Also because they paid.
They're good.
They had a bunch of high-million-dollar contracts for top four defensemen. 14
points and 7
points. No, well, games. Top four defensemen, they paid like a lot of money to guys like Colin Miller and stuff, but
Colin Miller's gone.
Well, he's gone now.
I got one more Mark Scheifele thing.
Okay, tell me about Mark Scheifele, Nico, now that you're done about how he's flying.
I like big butts and I cannot fly.
Okay, number 6 on the list. Like, what are we doing, man? Like, what is this?
Oh no!
Come on, that was good. Was that good? That was good.
We all expected that. Let's be real here.
That's good.
You know what?
Okay.
Respect. Respect has been given.
Let me get into my number 6 here. It's Mark Scheifele. No, I'm kidding.
I mean, our podcast is so weird. Why not just hop to number 4? Because, you know, why not? Well, let's go backwards. Let's go four, five, six.
My number 6 is the Stanley Cup champion, Ryan O'Reilly. I'm going to keep this brief because you guys already mentioned it. I think he's the best defensive center in the league right now. Won the Selke Trophy and deservedly so. Had the best defensive league or the best defensive year out of any center. Brilliant offensively. And during St. Louis's terrible stretch, he was such a leader on that team. Still pulled through. Still was fantastic. And in the playoffs, again, kicked it up to another gear, especially in those last couple of series versus Boston, especially in the Stanley Cup final. Fantastic character guy, brings a lot of good
crazy playoff run. Group.
Yeah, honestly, he's just such a beast, clutch guy as well, especially goal scoring wise. But yeah, I can't say enough good things about Ryan O'Reilly. And neither can the Buffalo Sabres right now, sadly for them.
Yeah, and Patrice Bergeron. So my number 6 is the Maple Leaf legend, former New York Islanders legend, John Tavares. We already spoke on this a little bit. For me, he's number 6. Again, he's not amazing. He's great defensively, I would say. He played the shutdown role against Boston, and for a while there, he was actually shutting them down. They had to move Pasternak to a different line, but obviously it wasn't enough. People were kind of hating on Tavares in that playoff series, which is weird to me because he performed offensively, and he shut down that line, yet he was still... People said he didn't do that much, which was interesting to me. To me, he was really good in that series, and he was amazing, obviously, with Mitch Marner and Zach Hyman in the regular season, putting up 47 goals and just being one of the best lines in the NHL with Mitch Marner, which is, again, amazing. No, it was crazy.
Whoa.
But, John Tavares is number 6 on my list for those reasons. I don't think he's going to be their captain, actually, just because he's brought in as a free agent. But he's definitely captaincy material, as he had the assistant captaincy with the Toronto Maple Leafs. He was the captain for the Islanders. He's obviously a great locker room guy. And for me, he's 6'1", 209 pounds. He does everything. He scores. He plays defense again. So for that reason, he's number 6.
All right, Nico, what is your number 6?
I actually deleted it back, so
okay. I'll do my number 5 first, just because I can get it out of the way very quickly.
This is the late show. I'm just gonna move on to my number five.
I'm tired. It's late.
I'm sweating.
Okay, then tell us what your number 5 is, Jay, so we can do this already.
Let's get through the podcast. Number 5, Ryan O'Reilly. For me, he's top 5 center in the league because, well, he's great offensively, 77 points. He's, again, like Graf said, he's the best defensive center in the league. He won the Selke Trophy. He led the team to a Stanley Cup playoffs or Stanley Cup final win, the Stanley Cup. He won the freaking Stanley Cup. And this team was horrible. Just absolute garbage. Absolute just nothing. Not crazy at all. Not elite. They were bad. They were last in the league. coming into January. Into January. That's where teams just give up and die. They were going to trade Petriangelo. They were going to trade Parayko. They're going to trade Tarasenko. All the O's in the world. And then guess what happened? Ryan O'Reilly came up as a locker room guy, as a defensive guy, and led them to the Stanley Cup playoff final win. And that is why he had a crazy playoff series. He's obviously amazing defensively. He started scoring goals with that weird toey stick thingy. And then he finally won. And he's just amazing. And I love him. And he's number five.
Jay, I need to ask you one question.
Yes.
Is he crazy?
This is confirmed by Jay as of right now. Ryan O'Reilly is, in fact, crazy. That All is right. being spoken on right now.
Does Ryan O'Reilly have the best beard in the NHL?
No.
Who has the best Brent beard Burns. In the NHL? No, that one's like a...
Okay, like a Joe Thornton. It's one of the San Jose Sharks.
Okay, I go... Joe's pretty good. Zetterberg's not in the league anymore. He has
Nico, you still beard. Have to have number six, by the way.
No, he deleted his...
I don't.
He deleted his list.
That's that void. I don't know where the void is. I don't know who. What.
All right, then you're number five.
Very well prepared. Very well prepared. Thank you for listening.
Yes, you're welcome. Choose the way you could choose my number six is by if you Averaging found this out. On Twitter. You go on Twitter and then at me at Nico Frunatio who my number six picture.
Did you just do that so you get a okay? You know what?
No, I didn't. Respect. I didn't.
Okay, Grav, who is your number five center in the league?
Follow Jay. He needs his 87th follower.
No, don't follow him. Do not follow him.
Whatever. Okay. He doesn't deserve it. Grav, who's your number five?
My number five best center in the league is John Tavares. Good old Canadian really? Kid. Yes. Good old Canadian kid.
What? Yeah, I have a number six, man. He's a good centerman. He's a good player. He's
one of the best offensive outputters in the NHL right now. Last season, he was just an absolute monster, a driving play. And some people might like to say that he's just a tipping guy, but like he does so much more than that.
Well, to the people who say that, yeah. you're dumb. You're really dumb. He does
so much more than that offensively. In the regular season and in the playoffs. I mean, yeah, in the playoffs, I think he was good. He wasn't like this elite player that like was a Sidney Crosby playoff standard, but he was still very, very good. And again, for Toronto, obviously, they have Austin Matthews, who's a pretty good player, but John Tavares, my boy, my grocery store loving boy, is at number five.
I like John Tavares, pajama boy. He's pretty good. I didn't even know you had him in the top 10.
I had him six.
Did you say this?
Yeah, I'm not sure I did.
I felt like I was getting shamed into having him in my
Nico,
top 10 earlier.
Nico, do you have him at five, or do you or just Tavares your sixth then? We'll make Tavares.
He's my 10th. He's my 10th pick. I had him at number 10.
Oh, I forgot about that.
The real Leafs fan here has him at number 10.
Yeah,
what the heck? Why is the one Leafs fan? Well, Grav is wearing a Leafs hat right now. Not to expose him.
Yeah, I don't know. I had him way earlier. Okay, so my number five is Alexander Barkov. I know we talked a little bit about him earlier, but Alexander Barkov, Selke Trophy, always finalist. I think I think next year will be the year he finally gets it. He's a Lady Bing winner. 96 points last season, like insanity, and they still missed the playoffs. This season, with a more complete team, and obviously having not to worry so much about goals going in behind them. With Sergei Bobrovsky, like this is gonna be. I think this might be a 100-point season. A Selke winner, a Bing winner. He might even win the. Might even win the Hart. Who knows? I think this season is gonna be one of the biggest for Alexander.
He is
Barkov.
A big center, which we know Nico likes.
I love him. Nice and big, beefy,
juicy.
But no, he's Chunky. He's definitely. And I hope that he gives. Obviously, we always call him the most underrated player. But I do hope that this season. More people get to watch a lot more Florida games and
go to the games. People, they're good.
Yeah, that is true. Go watch them. They're actually going to be a really. They were one of the top offensive teams last season,
and they added and a good goalie and some good defense.
Yeah, so I mean, this team's going to be a contender next year.
Strawman.
I actually wrote an article. So I write for Puck Prose, whatever it is. And,
doesn't know the name of his
nobody,
own
friend. Nobody knows. Nobody knows. I asked like 20 people. Nobody knows. But I wrote this article today on whether or not your team will make the playoffs Atlantic Division. And I actually had Florida being the second overall.
Do you have the Habs?
Inside of the division. I have the Habs making it. I think there's going to be five choices.
We'll have to hear Nico. I think
there's going to be five choices inside the Atlantic Division this year versus the five that were in the Metropolitan last year for me. So definitely Florida's a team to look out for, and Alexander Barkov makes it worth it.
All right, Jay, you are next.
Okay, I'm next up. My five is Ryan O'Reilly, as I already said. Now we're going into what I think is pretty much chalk for the rest of the way. For me, it's chalk. I think me and Grav actually have the exact same list, but we can kind of bounce off each other. But I guess, okay, I might as well say it for both of us. So our number four is the man. Actually, I don't want to hype him up too much just because he's going to get a lot better, and then I don't know what else I'm going to say. He's the man. I think he's probably going to be the next Leafs captain actually. But it's Austin Matthews. He's a premium goal scorer in the NHL. He's a guy who, I'll be honest, he can do everything. He has the body and the body type to become a very good defensive center as well, which is kind of crazy. Like, if he can learn how to use his body to his advantage, and if he can learn how to use his size and his speed to kind of pick up the puck and go from the defensive end, like kind of Bergeron does, where he can learn to drive the play like Tavares does. He's 6'3", 223 pounds. Like, he definitely has a type where he can become a defensive center. So for that part of his game, if he can just improve that, then he'd become like even better than he already is. And then obviously he's already scoring at a great rate. He had 73 points in 68 games, 37 goals in 68 games, and 36 assists. So that is a very, very good stat line for a guy who's kind of injury riddled so far. And if he just has a full season, can kind of get on his horse defensively. And if he just puts effort defensively, if he just puts like 75% effort of what he does on offense on defense, he could become honestly a top two center in the NHL for years to come, just because he's only 21 years old. He's already having these 35, high 30, low 40 goal seasons. And the only thing on him is that it's not even that he's not like aggressive or he's not big. It's that he's still learning how to be that defensive center. So he can learn literally right under him, right under John Tavares, how to be that guy. And once that happens, there's no stopping him. He has all the potential in the world. Again, he's very, very young. So once he gets there, he's going to be a guy who can do everything. And once that happens, you tell me how you're going to stop him.
Honestly, it's just such a shame up to this point that Austin
Captaincy
Matthews...
Captaincy material, too.
Yeah, I would say so, too. It's been a shame, though, since his rookie year, that he hasn't had that full 82 season, because I think if he did have a full 82-game season, he might have gone a lot closer to potentially an Art Ross.
100 points,
obviously, with Kucherov.
Too.
Yeah, if Kucherov didn't exist this past year, he could have been up there. But I think, honestly, Matthews next season might be an Art Ross winner. I think he's just, when he's healthy and on his game, he is one of the most lethal guys. I don't think he's maybe the most skilled center out of there, for sure, but he just gets it done. His shot is absolutely, it's kind of unique, but also works
for him so good.
That toe drag
shot, man, is crazy.
Yeah, it's so good. And honestly, defensively, he is not good whatsoever. But as you said, there's definitely time to work on that. He's 21 years of age, so I don't expect him to play great defense anyways. The offense is what he brings. When he is healthy, he is just so, so good. And for as young as he is, again, I still think he is the next Maple Leafs captain. I would probably go with Morgan Riley, but if Austin Matthews...
See, I like that too, but
fantastic.
I just think he won't get it because of Mike Babcock. I do like Morgan Riley a lot, though. Also, another thing I just want to say, I don't expect Matthews to be good. I just want to clear up what I said, give it some context. I don't expect him to be good defensively. I hoped that he makes improvements, and I expect him to make improvements. All I'm saying is, if he did become as good defensively as John Tavares, and again, he's learning right under him, and he can learn about how he became so good defensively, if he can obviously get better and better as the years go on, if he reaches some sort of defensive potential as a guy like John Tavares, he's unstoppable at that point. He already is unstoppable, you could say. So, again, he has that lethal shot once he gets... He's already big in size. He doesn't need to, cut weight or gain weight. He's perfect where he is. All he needs to do is pretty much learn the game a little bit more, increase the IQ, and, again, just become a better center, the position-wise, just become a better center, and boom, he'll be good. Nico, what's your number four?
My number four is also Austin Matthews.
Oh.
All right.
I am. you guys just took everything out, but I just want to point out, I've watched last season, I probably watched 80 of the 82 games last year.
For That's fair. Nico's a huge Leafs fan.
I'm a big Leafs fan. I agree with what you're saying with, like, but Austin Matthews does have some, like, again, you're saying with the effort that he has to put in for trying to play defense, like, he kind of has that effortless defense where it kind of looks like if he actually did put some work into it, like, he could possibly be like a Pavel Datsyuk, where he just kind of takes the puck from you and you wouldn't even know it.
Exactly.
Like, there's some points where I'm watching him and it's like he's just gliding in the defensive zone. It kind of sucks. It's like, dude, just move your feet, man. Just move your feet a little bit and you'll be able to get to
him. That could do wonders as he's a center. Like, that could do absolute wonders even in the offensive zone. I don't think he understands.
Like, his stick positioning is always in the right spot too. I will say
he's
that
he's not in the position. And that's what IQ is needs to get.
Yeah, out. Sometimes it's just like, what are you doing, man? But, like, as soon as – and he has such deceptive speed. Like I don't know. I've never seen a player of his size just take off.
His acceleration like he does, is crazy.
Yeah, like, it's just – like, he's kind of like Nathan MacKinnon in the fact where, like, Nate just takes off super quick and you're scared to get in front of him. Like, as soon as Matthews gets the puck, like, he is in from the neutral zone into their offensive zone doing that nasty curl, that curl, whatever I can't even speak, or toe drag. And taking that shot, so it's a great thing to watch him play. I do hope that he does become a little bit better defensively, because they need it, man. They absolutely need it for them to continue in the playoffs. They absolutely need him to not only give a 100% with his offense, but also see that 100% effort defensively. Like, it's terrible. Like, people are like, well, he only played 18 minutes in the game, and no doubt he should be playing a lot more. But at some points, I kind of agree with why Babcock doesn't necessarily play him, like, the full 24 minutes. Because in the playoffs, I can't say that I can really rely on Matthews playing in the defensive zone. And that's just the truth.
So, exactly. I totally agree with Nico with that point. You can't play him. The only thing I will disagree with you is, I don't think I'm even disagreeing with you. I think you agree with this, too. Obviously, in the regular season, he doesn't want to put it. But game seven, he has to play more than the 18 minutes he did. I think I agree with you with the fact that he's not good defensively, so sometimes you can't play him that 24 minutes. So with that, I agree with you, Nico. But you're in a game seven, you just need to put your best guys out there, and Matthews is probably your best guy. I think he's probably better than John. On my list, he's better than John Tavares.
That last 3 minutes of that game seven. Like,
why is Marlowe on the ice?
How are you?
Why?
Yeah. Why is Marlowe on the ice? Why is Frederick Gauthier playing out there?
Like why?
You're in the off. It's not like they were in the defensive zone either. Like, they were in the offensive zone, like, moving it around.
Even in game six, like, when they had a chance to win it and just get out of there, he didn't play that much. People don't talk about Game 6 because it's not Game 7, because Game 7 is everyone... If there's Game 7 in a series, that's all people tend to talk about. But, like, Game 6, they had a chance to just, like, do it, just finish them off, and they just didn't do it. They had the chance to do it at home, on home ice, in the ACC. Ah, I hate calling it the Scotiabank Center. In the ACC. It's the ACC. I'm from Toronto, so for me, I grew up with the ACC. But for me, it's like, oh, you just could have pulled it out. Just play guys like Tavares and Matthews 24 minutes each. That's your strength. Your center depth was your strength. Use that to your advantage. And Mike Babcock seemed to like to play Frederick Gauthier and Ron Hainsey more than Morgan Riley and Jake Gardner.
Yeah, and Patrick Marleau. It's unbelievable. And, like, one more thing before we move on to the top three, though. For Austin Matthews also, like, just, like, if he is consistently injury, like, prone. Rattled, it's kind of, injury prone, like, it's going to be hard for me to really take in the contract that he got. Like, if this, say this next season he plays only 50 games and he gets, say, 60 points, is that really worth 10.5?
No. Not at all.
Like, that. Well, like, and don't get me wrong,
some people are playoff players too.
When he's in, he's really great. Yeah, but when he's in, he's great. You know what I mean? So I think that's going to be the next narrative that you're going to see coming out of, like, Toronto
after,
like,
Marner.
Is Matthews worth this much money because he keeps getting injured? I hope his career from here on out he stays healthy, because I do believe that he could be a top center in this league, like, top three center. I just really want him to be healthy.
Yeah. Again, okay. Other than defense, that's his only gripe.
Yeah. Honestly, though, that again, Matthews is again, frustrating with the health. I hope he does stay healthy as a Team USA boy. I'm hoping he gets it back. But
what team do you not cheer for, Grav? Let me know.
Team Canada.
Well, that was, there you go. Yeah.
Didn't you just say you like Team USA? Okay.
Yeah, I said I like Team USA. And then I don't like Team Canada.
Oh, I found who my seventh guy was. It was Patrice Bergeron.
Oh, there you go. He's a...
There we go. He found him out of the dust, out of the abyss.
He's a crazy player.
Crazy.
What is it? What is our number?
Our
top.
Wait, so we...
What's your...
Yeah,
okay, can we do number two and three? Can we just say who number one is? Because to me, there's no point in...
My number one is Rupe Hintz. Let's go.
Okay, can we just get him out of the way just because there's not that much to talk about? He's just the best ever.
Radic Faxa.
Radic Faxa? That's Radic Faxa, Nico.
Yeah, I said Radic Faxa.
You said Edka Faxa. Oh, I don't even... Who cares? Okay, Connor McDavid, number one. There you go.
Mike Rupp.
Okay, so quickly, just so all the Edmonton fans don't feel like we did them an injustice, even though their team is... not that great.
You're wrong.
What are you talking about? We talked about them all today. We talked about all
the
news.
I tried defending you guys. Yeah, screw you guys. Connor McDavid is just the best center in the NHL. He had 116 points in 78 games played on the worst team, one of the worst teams in the NHL. He's just carrying that team. Carried Draisaitl to 100 points, in my opinion. But 116 points, 41 goals, 75 assists. So for me, I actually had Crosby number one up until not recently, but like relatively recently. I would say like midway through last season is when I finally just had to switch because Connor McDavid was just too good to the point where like I couldn't hold Crosby there. But I would say before halfway through the season, I did still have Crosby because I feel like people were underrating him and how good his hockey IQ is insane. Sidney Crosby's like, it's crazy. I'll get into that more when we get to it. But Connor McDavid just super fast, super quick, scores a lot. He tries on defense. I can't say he's like amazing on defense, but he tries on defense at least, and he does everything that for that team. He's a captain. He's one of the most underrated captains in the NHL. People don't really talk about him as a leader just because he's relatively quiet, but I'll be honest, for him to say and be as humble as he has been and say what he says with this team, with this dumpster fire of a garbage team, he's one of the most underrated centers in the NHL, one of the most mature players for his age at 22 years old. So, again, he's ready to take on that mantle of the best player in the NHL. So, Connor McDavid is your number one center.
Connor McDavid is pretty crazy good. I would
crazy.
Agree with that.
He's certified crazy.
There you go.
He's certified. I like Nathan McKinnon's my number one. There you go.
You're lying. Wait. But
there you go.
Are you serious?
There he is. No, he's not number one. No, are you kidding me?
Bro, for a second I was like, whoa, one. What just happened?
No,
we need to talk about this.
No, but since we're making crazy picks right now, Nathan McKinnon, who's your number one center that's not a number one center?
Crosby.
Like, who is your... No, I mean, who's your favorite center who's not a good center?
Max. Oh, like in the Alex Galchenyuk.
I mean, you're not wrong, actually. Like, he's not that good.
No, you're right. No, you asked me, who's your favorite center who's not a good center? It's Alex Galchenyuk. For me, because I finally started watching hockey. I'm 17, so I finally started watching hockey a few years before Galchenyuk. Then we finally had a high pick for the first time forever because we were so good. Then we had that 1 year being terrible. And we got the third overall pick, and we picked the guy who I just fell in love with as I finally got into hockey. And you know how you always have that player who your team drafts that first year you start watching, so you just hold on to him like your baby? So Alex Galchenyuk was that for me, and I don't know. I really hope he goes off. Like, I think when he was 19 was the season he had 30 goals in his second year. Like, he had 30 goals, and I do think he should play center on most teams, but obviously in Pittsburgh, he should play the wing. But hopefully he has a bounce back season with Crosby and Malkin. And yeah, just
I want to mention, why are we discussing Alex Galchenyuk right now?
Because I love him.
Okay. I guess he is pretty crazy good.
No, I asked you two, who is your favorite who's your favorite center?
That's not good.
Who is like not, who's not good?
Jason Spezza.
I was gonna say my favorite non-center guy is Franz Nielsen.
Franz Nielsen.
I love Franz Nielsen.
Why?
That's a weird one.
Like, you ever watch a player and it's like he tries really hard, but the skills just aren't there, and it's like, why are you trying to deke, man? like I love watching him on Detroit try to do things that he just can't do, and he looks so stupid. It's amazing because he gets ice time and he's so bad. It's amazing. He's the funniest.
That's the ultimate backhanded, but like that's the ultimate backhanded compliment.
Like, go
bro, you work super hard. I love that you work super hard. That's why you're my favorite center. But dude, honestly, you're garbage. Stop trying to deke. You're
yeah, but honestly, you are garbage.
Anyway, number two and three. So, Nate, do you want me to say our number two and three, or do you want to go? You got it.
Yeah. So our number two and three, I guess we have the same one. We have Nathan MacKinnon number three and Sidney Crosby number two. Of course, Connor McDavid with number one pick. I'm gonna start with Nathan MacKinnon. Fantastic player, took big steps up these past couple of years, but this past season, I don't know if he took a step back. I don't think he did. He's still fantastic offensively, one of the best in the league.
Best line in hockey.
No, Boston's better, but I think defensively he's still decent. Okay, be quiet, Avs fan. Jay, Avs fan, get
out
of here.
I'm not an Avs fan.
Yes, you are.
I just like MacKinnon and Alexander Kerfoot, who's now a Leaf.
Yeah, now you have to be a Leafs fan because
no, Nazem Kadri's there now. And I love Nazem Kadri. Yes.
Okay, fine.
Yes, okay. I'm an Avs fan. Screw it, I'm an Avs floppers. Fan.
I'm the only person on this podcast that is dedicated to two teams.
No. I'm a Habs fan and only a Habs fan. You guys made it a meme that it's an Avs fan. You guys made it a meme.
You were just yanking off. Austin Matthews for like 40 minutes. Like,
okay, I host a podcast. Leafs, I have to be impartial. I have to be impartial.
Jay loves the Leafs. There you go.
Stop putting. I have to be impartial. It's like we do a podcast. It's like Grav with his YouTube channel. He's impartial.
I hate the Oilers.
I hate the Chicago Blackhawks.
I literally just ripped on the Edmonton Oilers, and I was like praising them for their Edmonton. Relax. We host a podcast. I'm a Habs fan and a Habs fan only.
Hello, Leafs fan.
Podcast that we've done,
dude. It's tough. We've had a lot of podcasts. All of our podcasts have been pretty rough.
No, this is probably the worst one. I wouldn't say it's the worst. This is the most off-hinged one, I would say.
It's late.
I mean, it's like 12 o'clock.
No, this is the best.
It's 1 a.m. for me,
this
man.
This is the best content.
Yeah, this is probably the best for content than sound bites if you want to start marketing.
If you're watching
day.
This like in the morning,
okay, honestly, there's not that much to talk about. MacKinnon took big steps on a team that finally made it to the second round in the Colorado Avalanche. They had a good season. Nathan MacKinnon led them to that great captain on an amazing contract, like the best contract in the NHL for sure.
Okay, enough about hockey. What is your guys' favorite sandwich?
Okay, my favorite sandwich is you gotta have white bread. No wheat bread. I ain't messing with that crap. Okay, get out of here with that crap. It's gotta be wheat bread.
To be honest, I barely eat white bread, but when I do, it's amazing. So yeah, agree.
So you gotta put the bread man on it. You gotta get that all together. Okay?
Panarin on the sandwich.
You gotta put the cheese on it. It's gotta be American. Okay, no freaking mozzarella or cheddar's fine. Okay, you put it on and then cheddar's good. You put some turkey on there. It's got to be oven roast. It's got to be from the store. It's got to be good. You put some of that on. You put a slice on. And then you put the other bread on. You put the other bread man on. And then you're good to go. It can maybe be a Subway bun or something.
We're talking about Subway sandwiches?
I'm talking about like the Subway like buns where you have like the kind of
okay
like the sub buns, you know what I mean? Yeah.
I don't have sandwiches that often, but like smoked meat sandwich is always good. Smoked meat is great. From Quebec is amazing. But if you want me to talk about my sub, I can talk about my sub.
What's your 5 foot long?
My sub is chicken teriyaki with lettuce. Then you can get your veggie on the side, but lettuce. And then there's four sauces: barbecue ranch, light mayo, and sub sauce. Put that on flatbread as your bread. Cut that in half, and then you have veggies on the side. You have like a little veggie salad on the side with the sub, and that will be the best thing you'll ever taste. Try it; I guarantee you, it will taste amazing.
This is the best Subway ad we have ever had, and it's not been an ad. So
Subway sponsor us.
My turn. Okay, my favorite sandwich is a Monte Cristo, man. You ever have a Monte Cristo?
No.
A Monte Cristo is, so you make, it's French toast, right? So you make French toast, and then you go get some ham, and then you go get some, provolone cheese, whatever you want. You put it together, and it's the most amazing, like, you melt the cheese onto the ham, and then you put the two French toast bread together. And it makes this Monte Cristo, and it is hands down like one of the best sandwiches ever. Because you could put, it's sweet enough where you can put like syrup on it, but it's also like not sweet where you can also put like ketchup or something on it. Like it is like one of the most in between sandwiches I think that like you can make. It's just so good in so many different ways. You can have it for breakfast. You can have it for dinner. You can have it for the 2 o'clock munchies. Like it doesn't 2 a.m. munchies. Like it doesn't matter. It's a fantastic sandwich. There you go. That's our podcast.
10 out of 10. Okay. So.
And we're done.
The How long episode, is I don't know, like 120, like, not 100.
122. An hour, 22 minutes.
10. It's 10 long. Oh, my gosh. Okay,
well, guys,
so.
Okay, please. Thanks for listening. Please follow the podcast at ROH Podcast on the Twitters. Retweet the podcast. Do all that stuff. Amazing content on there too, just not podcasts, just pictures and stuff will come out. A YouTube channel for the podcast is coming soon in the next week or so. I'm getting started on that. I'm getting a lot of shifts at work because I need to make money. So
excuses is what I hear.
I work like a lot of shifts, but the YouTube channel is coming very soon, and be on the lookout for that. But again, retweet the podcast, retweet all the content we put out. The YouTube channel is really cool. We're going to have a full podcast, and then we're going to have some clips and some other stuff on there, so make sure to follow that. Make sure to follow the Twitter. Make sure to rate everything like that. Make sure to follow me at 416J on Twitter, FourOneSixJay. Make sure to follow Nico at Nico from the TO on Twitter. Make sure to read all of his links, read all of his articles on Fanside and Puck Prose. Make sure you listen to Gravity, watches all of his YouTube videos, his streams, which are actually really good. I actually recommend his streams a lot. At Gravity, GRAVITEH. And remember, follow the podcast. And yeah, I don't know why I did everyone's outro, but I did. It's late. I'm tired.
Jay did it. We're good. Keep preaching hockey. Goodbye.